And I wonder if you were listening in. But I've got a question for you first. I wonder if you have ever thought about how real and how practical the Christian faith really is. Now, there are some headings on the back of your service sheet. Kids, you should have a big one with lots of space for you. Have you ever thought about how practical the Christian faith really is? Let me read you from verse 1 again. It'll come up on the screen. God showed Isaiah what would happen to his people. Isaiah saw these things while Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz and Hezekiah were kings of Judah. Not only is this real history, but this stuff makes a difference. Isaiah presents his book as being a vision. Something God showed him, a way for him to see, boys and girls, rather than calling for just small adjustments to our lives here and there, Isaiah's saying that this is a whole new way of seeing the world. That his book, this book, wants to open our eyes, to lift our eyes higher, get it, Isaiah? To help us see beyond human distractions, to see things that will matter forever. If you look at our screen, you'll see that's part of our big idea today. Isaiah says, listen up. God is speaking. Listen up, God is speaking. Now, that sounds like good news. Until we realise, well, he's speaking to sinful hearts. So he's calling to a world that hates and rejects it. Can I read you a little bit more? Here's verses 2-3. Listen up, everyone, because the Lord is speaking. I raised my children and helped them to grow, but they've turned against me. An ox knows its master and a donkey knows where its food is, but my people don't know me. My people don't understand. Did anyone spot the animal in there? What was it? Anyone? Alice? A donkey. Well, there were two. There was an ox as well, like a cow, but there was a donkey. It sounds great, doesn't it? But there's a reason being called a donkey is offensive, yeah? Because donkeys are stubborn and stupid. But even a cow can obey a farmer. Even a donkey can smell its way home. But humans? God says we're like children who respond to his love with rebellion. We take his stuff, but we tell him to shove off. And even a silly animal knows better. You don't want to be a donkey, do you? We get a bit worse in verse 5 when God says this. Why do you turn against me when it only does you harm? Your body sick from the bottom of your foot to the top of your head. It's quite a picture, isn't it? God says our rejection of him, yours and mine, isn't just some little accident, but it's part of our DNA. It's who we really are at the deepest level. Grown-ups, I found the author C.S. Lewis, he put it really helpfully. He said this, he said, we're not just imperfect creatures who must be improved, but we're rebels who must lay down our arms, our weapons. It's not sounding very good, this doctor's report, is it? And I'm afraid it only gets worse, because if you're tempted to feel a bit smug, as if this is just kind of talking to others who are out there, well, the next few verses get pretty awkward. Yes, mate, you come and help me. Isaiah doesn't just say that we've got sinful hearts, but he says, listen up, God is speaking to empty religion, to hypocrites who care only about themselves. You see, God says the problem isn't just out there, but it's in here. And the problem isn't just out there, but it's in here. Boys and girls, grown-ups, Do you see how real God is? About how possible it is to be in church, to have been in church for years and years to years, and to make him feel sick. I'll leave the details to your imagination, but listen again. That's what Isaiah says. At verse 11, the Lord says, I don't want the sacrifices you give me. I've had enough of them. Why do you run in and out bringing me worthless offerings? I hate the incense. I can't stand your feasts. Your sacrifices are evil. This is in the Bible. God's very people, those people who say they trust him, are living as if he's not there and are treating other people like they just don't care. And so turning up on a Sunday and pretending to worship him makes him feel sick. Did you ever think God could say that about a church? Do you ever think he might say it about us? We're going to think about the good news in a minute, but before we do, we're going to have a break for a song. It's a song that helps us think about why God might be telling us this. And kids, while we're singing, we've got a challenge for you guys. See, over here are a whole load of craft bits that you have got the length of this song to create. To create the very best megaphone you can. You can do it on your own, you can do it together. Grown-ups, feel free to chip in. To remind us, well, what does Isaiah say? He says, listen up, God is speaking. So you have got the length of this song to go nuts. Grown-ups, we're going to sing while they do. Words will come up on the screen. Can I invite you to stand if you're able? Well, welcome back. We're going to have a little think about the second part of our true story. And kids, every time I say listen up, you need to shout, listen up. So will you listen up?
Listen up.
No, I said, will you listen up?
Listen up.
You have to shout it through your megaphones, obviously. Now, kids, can you remember some of our headlines? God's doctor's report hasn't been very good so far, has it? Yeah, God says we should listen up. Because he's speaking to sinful hearts and empty religion. In fact, verse 16 begins with another call, because God says, listen up.
Listen up.
Because he is speaking. But this time it's incredible news. God is speaking to people who need a clean start. He's speaking to us, to me, to you, to everyone in our world. Let me read it to you again. Wash yourselves and get clean. Stop doing evil. Stop doing wrong. Instead, learn to do good, to be fair to other people. Defend those who are hurt. Stand up for the weak among you. I wonder if you've ever been somewhere where they have those funny mirrors. We were in Newcastle earlier on this year, and we came across loads there. But you see, the thing about these mirrors is that they make it very difficult to see what's going on. Now, have a look at these. Which one of my girls is standing the right way up? What do you reckon? Alice? It's confusing, isn't it? In fact, you have to turn the picture upside down to see the real thing. It's Chloe standing up and I'm holding Alice. You see, what we think is the real thing, the original, is actually, it's got the world the wrong way up. It's a little bit like what Isaiah is showing us here. God is showing up in the conversation. He's speaking to the world, to the details of your life, and turning it the right way up. Though every cell and fibre of our being has turned away, he speaks to us with words of healing and life. He speaks to a desperately sick world. And he says, there's a chance to get clean. He says, listen up. Thank you. He says, listen up. There is a chance to get clean, not by some sort of religious ritual or act, but by making him part of our lives. Do you ever feel like you'd like a clean start as well? Come. Come now, God says in verse 18. Come now, let us talk things over, says the Lord. Though your sins are the deepest red, I can make them white as snow. If you willingly obey, you will feast like kings, but refuse and turn away from me, and you'll be destroyed. So, come, let us talk things over. It's another way of saying, listen up.
Listen up.
Right at the point where everything looks like God would be absolutely right to slam us. At that point, God responds with this incredibly gracious offer to get real and to get right. At the very moment we expect judgment to fall, God shows up with grace. While we're still running away from him, God says, stop fighting and come home. We were down in London a week ago, and we were making lunch with some of our friends. One of their kids smeared peri-peri sauce all up the sleeve of his sister's white, fluffy top. Grown-ups, if you've ever experienced something like that, you will know it is an absolute nightmare to clean off. Now imagine that was your wedding dress. Lads, imagine that is your best suit, your brilliant white baptism shirt. Imagine it. Now imagine it's not just a picture of something we wear on the outside, but it's a picture of what God says we're like in here. The problem of our failure before God is something, he says, is deeper than we can ever clean. It's more serious than you can ever fix. So God himself, in the person of Jesus Christ, stepped in to cleanse us himself. In fact, it's one of the pictures we're going to see in baptism. As we retell the story of a mighty Saviour who takes our disasters and offers us a clean start. And to check we're listening, he says, listen up.
Listen up.
Though your sins are the deepest red, I can make them white as snow. Do you know, it's an offer, it's a story that has changed my life. And it's here where our passage lands, because it pushes us. In fact, it pushes the ball into your court. It asks, what are you going to do? What are you going to choose? In verse 19, God says this, if you willingly obey, you'll feast like kings, but refuse and turn against me, and you'll be destroyed. That the Christian faith is so real and so practical that we decide each day, each hour, each minute, who we're going to listen to and who we're going to follow. So it's over to you. Listen up. God is speaking. Well done. How does this help you to live differently? Where do you need to say yes to Jesus' invitation? Let me give you a moment to think about that, and then I will pray using our special prayer for this series. Let me lead us in a prayer. Gracious and holy God, thank you for the gift of your word for these chapters of Isaiah. As we journey through them together, would you open our hearts to hear both your warning and your promise? Confront us where our lives have drifted and draw us again into your presence. Heavenly Father, give us courage to repent, faith to trust, and hope to rejoice in the day when the Lord Jesus returns and this world is made new. May we see Christ, the light that shines in the darkness, and may that light transform us into a people of justice and mercy and peace. We pray this through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and King. Amen.